Welcome to the Lead Defend Podcast, a show designed to help you grow in faith and leadership as you navigate the stages of young adulthood. We address important faith topics and provide practical life tips, helping you build up your faith as you engage a changing culture. Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, this is Ryan and Brock. You are back with Lead Defend Podcast. We got Todd Connitz in the house right now. Todd, you're a Texan.
Well, I'm actually technically an Arkansan.
Hey, good for you.
Born and raised in Camden.
All right.
Moved to Texas in 1996 to go to East Texas Baptist University.
So, has that Texas pride stuck its teeth in you yet?
No, we call the Hogs, even though
there's there we go. Yeah, that made everybody listening very happy.
Absolutely. So
they did not turn the podcast off.
We tell our kids there are three things in life. You respect your mama, you love Jesus, and you call the Hogs.
That's
kind of the priorities of our
family. And your kid's mom is agreeing, nodding in the background. So
she
that's
is,
a great
cause
thing.
Her family lives in Camden. Her family.
And you've got
here.
Three kids, right?
Three kids.
Okay.
We've got a freshman in college. He plays basketball at Eternal University, which is just outside of our town.
Yep.
And we have a junior who's 16 years old, and then we have a 13-year-old going on 30. She's an eighth grader. So
wow.
We call her Micah Moo, and she is the life of the party.
That's awesome.
Fun. Well, you are passionate about prayer. In fact, you pastor a church, New Beginnings, but your prayer's just on your heart. What is it that you wish you knew as a teenager about prayer?
Yeah, for me, it was. I grew up reading the stories in the Bible. I was raised in church. Mm. Didn't come to faith until I was 16. Much of it was because of what I saw in the church was a lot of teaching about what God could do, but not actually seeing God do it. And reading stories about God's power in the life of disciples, but not ever sensing that in my own life. And
wow.
So for me, it was a lot of my younger years. I kind of just went through the motions of church and, you know, checked the box on reading my Bible. And I went to church and did the thing. Looking back now, one of the things that I wish I understood the power of God that's available to every Christian, regardless of how young or old you are.
You talk about power. What is the connection between power and prayer?
Well, Jesus tells us, he says, you know, if you ask, you seek, and you knock, you will receive, it will be opened, and he tells us in his word that if we ask for the Holy Spirit in prayer, we will receive it, and so receive him, rather. And so I think for me is what I'm discovering is that prayer is primarily about a pursuit of the presence of God, and when you get the presence of God, the power of God comes with it.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's not a pursuit of power, it's a pursuit of presence. And when you have his presence, you have all the power you need.
That's a good word, because I think some people assume that prayer is just rubbing the lantern so the genie pops out and you get your wishes granted.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're saying, no, you're not after the thing, you're after the person.
Yeah, and because at the end of the day, prayer fundamentally is not about getting requests answered. It's about the presence of Jesus that we get to have and share in fellowship with. It's his manifest presence in our life, and so it's communing with
Wait,
a person.
Did you just say prayer requests are unbiblical?
I'm not saying that.
Okay, good,
I'm
good.
I'm saying they are secondary to the primary purpose, which is communing with the Father. If you look at Jesus' life, we just walked through the book of Luke and a conversation I was having with a group of pastors. And if you look at the book of Luke, Jesus spent more time alone with the Father. And what we find is he's just there with the Father. You don't see a bunch of petitions. Not that he's not making requests. But what you see more than anything is his intimacy with the Father that leads to the power of the Spirit in his life.
Wow.
And if Jesus is not just, he's the example for us.
Mm-hmm.
He is who we're trying to be transformed into his likeness. Well, if Jesus found power through intimacy with the Father in prayer, how in the world do we live this life without it?
Yes. There's something key there. You said intimacy. That means prayer is not just talking.
That's right.
Like, it's not just you spewing out stuff.
Yeah.
So if prayer is not just talking to God, it's more than that. What else is prayer?
I think it's listening. It's just being in the presence. You know, the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I'm God." There are times where what I'm learning about my own prayer life is that some of the richest moments of prayer for me is when I'm sitting in silence for 25 or 30 minutes and just thinking about the goodness of God and thinking about the knowledge of him being God and finding rest in that. And there are times where he'll speak and to me, whether it's reminding me of a verse or impressing something on my heart, there are times where I don't hear anything, but you just sense his nearness. And I leave feeling fueled and refreshed, having not really said much at all.
That's so, you know, you talk about Jesus modeled this so well for us. you see the benefits in it now. You wish you would have saw it when you were a teenager, but when you're a teenager, you have this blind spot. I think many may have these blind spots. How did we get to this place where prayerlessness became so prevalent?
Yeah, I think it's in the American church, we have traded programming and we've put it in the place of power. And we have leaned on strategy versus supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And we have a lot of conferences, and we can teach and train how to do Christianity really well. But Christianity is not something you do. It is the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in your life, making you more like Christ. So whenever we look towards strategies, not that strategies are wrong, but when that becomes where we trust in, or we look at our gifting, our natural abilities, Jesus is not going to share glory. And so he just removes himself and his power from the work that we're trying to do. He's like, look, if you want to go and do things on your power, more power to you, but it's going to fail you. And that's what happened in my life.
Wow.
10 years after being at the church I'm at right now, I hit a wall. And that wall was pride, arrogance, and self-reliance led me to a place of darkness, depression, and where I just wanted to quit because I would see a work of God in the Bible and then not see it in my own life. And through that season of depression and darkness, God brought me to a place where he brought me to the end of my own efforts. And now that's why I'm on this campaign of prayer, because through intimacy with Jesus in that moment, him stripping things away from my life, helping me understand what it means to truly trust the Holy Spirit in prayer and walk in the power of Jesus, transformed how I do ministry. And I'm prayerfully, I'll never be the same again.
Wow. So you're a young adult. You're listening to this, and you're saying, admittedly, I don't know that I got this prayer thing prioritized right in my life.
Yeah.
How do they start?
Well, for me, it was brokenness. I mean, I don't think you have to start there, but I think the Lord had to bring me into myself. What I try to encourage people to recognize is that the question you've got to answer in your life is, do I want my vision for my life— my ability for my life, or do I want the God of the universe to breathe a vision inside of me to work in my life in power? And I think if the answer is, yeah, I want to see God work, well, then that's where that starts of prioritizing being with him is the single most important thing in your life.
Yeah.
Being with him in prayer, being in his word, not for the sake of the word and not for the sake of prayer, but for the sake of his presence in our life. And so it just starts with that realization. God's plan, his vision, his power is greater than mine. There's only one place the Bible shows us that we find what God can provide, and that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ and a life of prayer.
That's right. So let's say a student is challenged already. They've heard this the first several minutes of this podcast, and they're saying, wow, I need to reconnect with Jesus through prayer. Mm-hmm. I need to reprioritize that in my life. They've got 10 minutes set aside this morning, and they're saying, all right, I'm going to pray. How would you encourage them to structure that?
Yeah, so I'll just give you, I think, five components to a healthy prayer life. Exaltation, that's spending a few moments just thanking God for who he is and what he's done. There's consecration, that's getting honest about the sin in our life. If the Spirit is not at work in my life, I've grieved him somehow.
Wow.
So consecration is that confession of sin, getting honest before the Lord. And then the next aspect of that is this submission. This is where Jesus in the model prayer says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the next phase of that would be this idea of submission, where we are yielding ourselves. God, what are you most concerned about in the world, and how can I ask you for that? His name, his glory, his will. Then there is petition. That's where now I bring, because I have exalted him, I've confessed sin, I've realigned my heart with his will. Now I'm in a position where I know what to ask for. So then I bring my request. I bring my petitions to him. What do I need him to do in my life? And then there's intercession. Intercession is when you pray on behalf of someone else.
Yeah.
So that's where now, what do I want to see God do in my friend's life? What do I want to see God do on my college campus or on my high school campus? What do I want to see God do at our church? What are the needs of the people around me? And I begin to intercede on their behalf. So those five phases, I think, really exemplifies a healthy, balanced prayer life.
So you got exaltation, consecration, submission,
petition,
and then intercession.
Wow, that's so good. And it's helpful because I think a lot of people, when it comes to prayer, like they don't even know where to start. And even you referencing the Lord's Prayer, like, that's a great place to start. Mm-hmm. But speak to the person who it's like, I'm trying this. I'm sitting there, you know, my eyes are closed, and I just feel silly. Like, it feels like, you know, that saying of my prayers just feel like they're hitting the ceiling. Yeah. How do you break through maybe that uncomfortable feeling when you're trying to pursue this life of prayer?
Yeah, I think first thing I would say to that person is that you're normal. The flesh wars against the spirit.
Hmm.
The reason we don't pray like we should is because the flesh wants us to rely on itself.
Wow.
So if you find your mind drifting and you're thinking about your to-do list and you're trying to pray, but your mind's wandering, that means you're a normal Christian.
Sure.
Yeah. All of us face
That's helpful.
So one of the phrases that I give folks that I disciple in this, or if I teach, I'll say this phrase, you need to pray until you pray.
Huh.
So you pray until you pray. And how do you do that? Pray before you pray. So what that cliche is that before you pray, ask the Holy Spirit to give you clarity. Ask mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit to give you focus. So ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in mm-hmm. your prayer. Then as you do that, start to pray. You're going to find your mind drifting, but stay in a posture of praying until there's going to be something that happens. You'll stay in that posture, and it's something that may take longer than 5 minutes, 7 minutes. Yeah. You're going to start sensing the Holy Spirit starting to guide and guide your prayers and capture your mind. Yeah. And then there are going to be moments where you drift again, and then you kind of bring that back.
Sure.
And so pray before you pray. That's preparing yourself, asking the Spirit to lead you. Pray until you pray, because there are times where I'm praying, but I'm not really praying. I'm just talking.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then, but if I stay in that long enough, and I'm acknowledging that. So what I do when I find my mind wandering is, Lord, my mind is wandering again. I'm sorry. Help me to focus on you. Help my flesh be overcome by the Spirit. And then I just continue to pray until I get to that place where now I'm really praying.
Well, that sounds like consecration again. You're saying, all right, God, I'm wandering. This is who I am. Yeah.
Because you said it a second ago, it sounds like prayer is more of a relationship, right? Or mm-hmm. intimacy is more relationship with God in prayer. Yeah, so I'm dialoguing and I'm communing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times where I'm doing that. If I'm asking the Holy Spirit, help me pray, there are going to be thoughts that I have
mm-hmm.
that might be put there by the Holy Spirit. So all of a sudden, I'm praying and I think about a friend. Well, if I've asked the Holy Spirit to tell me, start praying for that friend.
Yeah.
Because what we might think is our mind drifting could actually be the voice of the Holy Spirit leading us.
There's two things I want to follow up on. You mentioned posture of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so could you instruct, like, how do we get in a posture of prayer? You've talked about the exaltation, the five steps that you would encourage people to go through the prayer. But what about posture? Because posture can be important.
It can be important. So I would say this. There's physical posture and spiritual posture. Mm-hmm. Let me talk about physical first. One of the things I tell people, I just said it to a group I was speaking to earlier. There are times when the spiritual posture is not happening. You want to humble yourself before the Lord. That's what we're commanded to do. So sometimes you actually have to change your physical posture for your spiritual posture to change. So there are times where I'm praying, I need to get on my face because there's something about physically assuming that humble position that causes my heart to follow.
Yeah.
There are times where I need to stand and just look up to the heavens. Or there are times where I need to open up God's word. And so the posture that I'm in can help shape where the spiritual posture goes. Spiritual posture, let me give you this biblical reference. Matthew 5, 3 through 6. It's the first four Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I think what we're seeing there by Jesus in those passages, it's a descent to kingdom posture.
Huh.
Poor in spirit. So start your prayer like this. God, I'm busted and I'm broken. I bring nothing to the table.
Yeah.
God, my sin, I'm going to mourn. I want you to break me over my sin. God, I'm a sinner to the core, and sin is not just what I do, it's who I am. And so I'm asking, Holy Spirit, would you forgive me of my sin? And so that's that mm-hmm. mourning, being broken over your sin. Then there's the meek. What does it mean to be meek before the Lord? It's to wave the white flag of surrender. Mm-hmm. That's what meekness is. And so now I'm descending from, I have nothing to offer. God, I'm broken over my sin. God, I surrender to everything. And then he says, finally, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, who is righteousness? It's Jesus.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So that posture gets down to the place where you go, Jesus, I have nothing. Jesus, I am nothing. Jesus, I surrender all things. Jesus, you are everything.
Wow.
I want to hunger and thirst for you more than anything else. Mm. And when you make that descent to where you're going, Jesus, you're all I want, now we're in the posture where praying can really happen.
You mentioned a couple things and it's a little in the weeds, but I think it'd be helpful to follow up on. Throughout the conversation, you've mentioned the Holy Spirit nudging. You've mentioned Jesus is what I'm calling it. We've mentioned God. What is the role of the Trinity in our prayer life?
Yeah. Well, I think we pray to the Father through the Son by the Spirit.
Mm.
Yeah. So we pray, and now it doesn't mean we can't pray to Jesus, even pray to the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
But primarily speaking, we have access to the presence of God the Father. We have that access not in our own right, but because of the finished work of Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection. Mm-hmm. And then the Spirit of God has made us alive, which enables us now to commune with Him.
Wow.
And so the Trinity, and you see this in Paul's writings, you see this even in the moment where Jesus is baptized. It says that He was praying.
Yeah.
And as He was praying, the Son was being baptized, the Spirit descended, and the Father spoke.
Mm-hmm.
So you see this kind of moment where the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit are all communing together. Well, because we are in Christ, we have that same access.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been talking about this kind of, Ryan mentioned, you know, a leader's got 10 minutes, a young person's got 10 minutes to spend. Here's some ways to frame this. The Bible talks about praying without ceasing. So how do we move from this moment of kind of focused prayer? So what does it look like to live a life of prayer without ceasing?
Yeah. I'll go back to the Matthew passage, the descent. Poor in spirit, mourn, meek, hunger and thirst for righteousness. When mm-hmm. when you can start your day, and in that moment in the morning where you're just getting into that kingdom posture, don't get up. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to physically get up, but spiritually don't get up.
Wow.
So you're walking through the day with this constant understanding, Jesus, I have nothing. Jesus, I am nothing. Jesus, You have my everything. Jesus, You are everything. And when you live in that kind of posture, there's communing that goes on. I got to go to this class, and I don't know if I'm prepared. I've studied. Holy Spirit, I have nothing. I am nothing. You are my everything. Jesus, would you remind me and would You guide me? I've got to have this conversation with this friend. I'm going to share the gospel. Jesus, I need You in this moment. I have nothing. So it's that posture that you live in. And obviously, there are going to be moments where, because of our flesh warring against it, you're going to snap out of that. Mm. But the moment you sense, I'm starting to walk in the flesh, repent, consecrate, and then reassume that posture of submission and surrender.
We've been talking a lot about private prayer, a person's private prayer life. And I would just imagine there's some folks listening, they're like, I'm convicted. I've not been doing this well. But tell us also about the role of like corporate prayer life, like praying together as church family, college students together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that corporate prayer is probably where the church is missing it the most right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have so emphasized our private faith that we fail to realize the Bible never really emphasizes a private faith.
Right.
It's a personal faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the Bible emphasizes is that you're a part of a family.
Yeah.
I like that. It's personal. It is your faith, but it's not private.
That's
it's
right.
Communal.
That's a good distinguishing
mark. There's
a lot
of plural
mark.
Pronouns when we're talking about the church and believers.
Yeah, and so what you'll find in the book of Acts, you're going to find a lot of prayers recorded. All of them are corporate prayers.
Hmm. Huh.
And so what you see Luke emphasizing in the book of Acts is the corporate prayer life of the local church and the power of the Holy Spirit that fueled the church. Every great movement in the book of Acts happened on the backside of God's people praying. Think about this for a moment.
Hmm.
The first church was planted in a prayer meeting.
That's
Acts
right.
chapter 1, they gathered. For 10 days, they prayed, and the byproduct of that prayer meeting, the church was born.
Wow.
Acts chapter 2, and they devoted themselves not only to the apostles' teaching, but to the prayer. Acts chapter 4, you see it again.
Yeah.
And so, you see them prioritizing chapter 6, the first missionary journey that Paul is sent on, corporate prayer meeting.
Yep.
Holy Spirit led them.
Hmm.
This is what you find the body of Christ praying together. When Peter is released from prison, the church was the one praying, and the angel was sent.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, will you tell us what this looks like for your church? What does it look like in the life of your church to practice corporate prayer together? I'm thinking worship services. Are there extra meetings or gatherings throughout the week? Different ministries. What does prayer look like in the life of your church?
So 3 years ago, when I went through that season of darkness, the Lord revealed to me that our church was spiritually dead, even though we were growing and all markers looked like we were healthy,
mm-hmm.
but the Spirit of God was not present, and He was absent because He was absent in my life. And so unless I became a pastor of prayer and led our church to be a house of prayer, that we were going to be missing the power of God in our life in our church. So we actually reordered our schedule. Wednesday night, we had all these Bible studies going on for adults. We killed all of them and said, from here on out, This is the new normal for us. We will gather as the people of God together to pray.
Wow.
We just started last Wednesday night. Was our first Wednesday night prayer meeting of our fourth year together doing that. Wow. And so for us, we just said it will be a priority. Church prayer is not something we're going to do. It's going to be who we are.
Yeah.
And that starts at the personal level and then the corporate level. On Sunday mornings now, we create space. Our worship service, we open up it to a time of prayer. So we say, hey, we're going to worship the next 15, 20 minutes. But during this entire time of worship, the altar is open, prayer people are available, and we want to make sure that we're communing with the Lord, not just singing about Him. And so if we're going to sing, our songs are going to be prayers.
Wow.
If you feel the need to go pray for somebody, hey, this is a place of freedom. Go pray for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So we've actually restructured our Sunday mornings to have prayer as a priority and at the center of what we do. And I'll just tell you this, the byproduct of that has been just the power of God has been unleashed in our church in ways that I've only read about in the Bible.
Wow.
Everything from miracles to radical conversions.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit sent a guy. He was on his way with a pistol to commit suicide, driving by our church.
Hmm.
He's never been to our church, pulls in the parking lot, puts his pistol in his dash, comes inside, gives his life to Christ,
Amen.
Gets baptized. He didn't even look like the same guy. Stories like that are happening all the time as a result of the only thing we've changed in our ministry is we've said prayer will be priority.
Wow. Last question. You're a father of teenagers and a college student. What is your greatest hope for your girls in their prayer life?
So for all of my kids, it's I want them to see the power of God on display because they know the presence of God is real.
Wow.
And so, and I'll just tell you this is kind of an illustration of that. One of my greatest memories, my son just gave his life to Christ. He's 16 years old, just gave his life to Christ in the spring of last year.
Okay.
Radically saved in a worship service. Mm. And his phrase to me when I walked backstage, he says, "Will you baptize me now?" And I was like, "Sure." And I said, "Well, tell me what's going on." And he said, "I've watched the presence of Jesus in people's life this last couple of years as we've been praying, and I haven't seen him in my life. And now I realize why. I don't know him."
Mm.
Gives his life to Christ. I get to take him to the Maasai Mara, Kenya, Africa, where we encountered a lot of unbelievable things on mission trip. One of them, we encountered somebody who was demon-possessed.
Mm.
So my newly saved 16-year-old boy, this guy is very visibly possessed with a demon. He comes over and just lays hands on him and starts praying.
Mm.
And like for an hour, like prays heaven down for this man without fear, without any hesitation. And we saw God work, and my point on that is, that's what I want to see in my kids' life.
Yeah.
For them to have such a confidence in the presence of God and the power of God that even in the face of the enemy, their first response would be, we're calling on the Lord. Like, I'm praying about it. I'm not running from this. And that's what, going back to your first question, this generation, high school students and college students, I truly believe what they want is to see that kind of Christianity because that's authentic Christianity.
That's right. Yeah.
And I believe that's why we're going to see a great revival happen to that generation because I'm starting to see all over the state of Texas and all over the country, you guys have seen it here, I'm sure, is God's Spirit is starting a fresh work in the college ministries and high school ministries because they want to see God move in this way. So that's my hope is that my kids get to be a part of that revival.
Yep.
That's so, so cool. Todd, thank you so much for being with us, sharing with us. Is there ways that listeners, they hear this from you, that they're listening to what you say about prayer, they want to hear more. Is there ways that people can follow you, keep in touch, learn more?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. It's at Todd Connitz, very simple. And then you go to nbbctx.org, go to our media page. You can get a link to our YouTube channel. All our messages are there, and awesome. We put a lot of resources out on prayer. And it's a predominant theme of my sermons these days. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. We've got a lot of cool things coming up with Lead Defend. Always check leaddefend.org for questions about the conference, for the podcast, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
That's it for this episode of Lead Defend. To hear more episodes from the Lead Defend crew, visit absc.org/podcasts. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening site. Want to learn more information about the next Lead Defend conference? Visit leaddefend.org.